course, news first, then.
Yay!
Yay! We have to do it on schedule. We have to have the lights right.
Oh, that's right. There was a schedule problem that we have to adhere to now. Right?
Our mild schedule problem.
What? Wasn't there, like, these things are way too long?
Oh, yeah. We just have to not talk for 50 minutes a section.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't focus too much on JoJo.
Yeah, our first episode was like 30 minutes of JoJo
and then
for news, and then 30 minutes of JoJo for geeking out, yeah, and then 10 minutes of other.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
So,
JoJo fandoms are crazy.
You shut up.
Well,
you guys are crazy.
Not as much as the Toho fandom. Those people are really crazy.
Yeah, to be honest, there are crazier fandoms. Mm-hmm. If you really want to dig to the dark, terrifying corners of the internet.
Yeah.
Which I would not recommend. This is advice from Plus INT, the podcast that will level up your knowledge of gaming and geekery. We're back again. I'm Preston.
I am Edgar.
And I'm Gabriel.
Yay! Edgar's here.
I'm here.
Yeah, we're gonna miss you when you're gone.
The news.
That sounded
gonna kill me.
That sounded dark.
He's so paranoid about me just killing him.
You are totally gonna kill me.
I am not gonna kill you.
You got this crazy look in your eyes.
No, okay, just because I scare you occasionally.
Can we talk about how Preston just hit on you?
I said he's got a crazy look in his eyes.
Yeah, but the way you said it was like...
I like that awkward silence that's in between those two.
We can chart out our awkward silence.
No, leave them in. That one was perfect.
Drag this back to the professionals that we are. The news!
Alright, news. For those who love the Final Fantasy XIII trilogy, good news. It is coming to Steam. The first game is going to come out October 9th for $15 with 13-2 and Lightning Returns sometime after that. I think 13 was on my list for a little while, but then it just eventually dropped off because, well, I never played Final Fantasy. But hearing how a lot of people didn't really like the 13 series, did you guys ever play that?
I haven't been part of Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy fan.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that these games were out on PC.
They're going to be on Steam, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I never heard of a Windows release or anything.
Not
like
behind
that.
Anything.
No?
Keep going.
Alright. Next up is, have you guys seen the news trailer for Final Fantasy 15 from Tokyo Game Show?
No.
Nope.
I showed you the trailer, Edgar.
Was it this one?
Yes, it was this one. It is pretty.
Pretty
when
pretty.
I first saw it, I was like, is this actual
gameplay?
Yes,
I know this.
Okay, I haven't seen this trailer.
Reddit has
but
been.
I've seen the exploitable where it's the dudes in the car, mm-hmm, and people Photoshop it in front of all sorts,
yeah,
of
yes,
things.
When I first saw it, I was like, is this actual gameplay? Is Square working their CG magic again? What is it?
It's a gameplay, and like people on Reddit have been like photoshopping in, like they're going through the drive-through McDonald's, and I'm
I can see.
I will play this if this game is nothing but a car RPG.
Oh my god!
You level up the stats of your car, and there's actually that man. That's pretty though.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Theft
that's
Final
just,
Fantasy.
Yep, yeah, that was the moment there. Grand Theft
Final
Fantasy.
Fantasy.
That is a crossover game that I would play.
15.
No, now I'm picturing this car RPG where you like level up your car's stats and then you can change your car's ability by who you have riding in it. Write this down.
Words are a problem for you right now.
Well, in addition to the trailer, Square Enix has announced that a playable demo of Final Fantasy XV will be included with copies of Final Fantasy Type-0 HD, which is scheduled for release in March of 2015.
I don't know what it is with Japanese games and having really long titles.
I mean, it's okay.
That's a good point. Like, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
That's the silliest title.
Well, it is somewhat accurate. Revengeance used to be a word, but then it was just...
Revengeance.
Yeah, it was just kind of split into two. And then there's also this little bit. Hajime Tabata, director of Type-0, will be taking over Final Fantasy XV's helm from Tetsuya Nomura. Given that Type-0 seemed to be well-regarded in Japan and was one of the few pieces of the ill-fated Final Fantasy XIII mega project to come in on time, he might be the go-to guy to get it done. no offense to Nomura, especially since now that he's not connected to 15, he's probably going to work a little bit more in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I'm excited for
that. Oh, yes.
One of the main motivations for a PS4 on my end, honestly.
We have been waiting, like, almost a decade.
Almost a decade, for a proper sequel.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, get it together, game.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Well, they're both Square Enix. Why can't I?
Yeah, it is Square Enix. But one has Disney, one does not.
Yeah, that's true.
I always thought that was just the strangest thing when I first heard about those games.
Yeah, I still kind of think it is. I haven't gotten into that game or that series.
The premise sounds so weird.
It never made sense to me, but I still enjoyed playing
them. Oh, yeah. And then there's the thing about the story where it's easy to understand when you're playing it, but impossible to
explain
to anyone else.
No, I never understood it when I was playing it either.
Uh-oh.
I have no idea what's going on. I am just killing these monsters.
Maybe you're like the dog meme that's like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Sort of.
Oh, that was dog meme?
That's a dog. No,
it's a dog
with a lab coat and he's doing chemistry.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
On with the news.
All right. Let me see. Have you guys heard of a little project that Blizzard have been working on called Titan? This is the first time I've heard of it, too. But apparently, Blizzard's next massively multiplayer game, Titan, was never announced, but the company has spoken about the project off and on these past 7 years. Here's another update. The game has been canceled.
Aw. What a tease.
And
7 years.
It's really sad to see, like, these kind of announcements. They've kind of been talking about it for 7 years, but was it ever going to come to fruition is, I guess, hardcore Blizzard fans must have been asking, because I think I might have heard about it a few years ago, but never really thought much about it. So I guess if you really weren't into that, you probably wouldn't have heard it.
I guess they probably still feel like, you know, StarCraft and WoW and Hearthstone and that MOBA game that they're making are going to be making them enough money to keep adding to their gold mountain that they don't have to make a new IP.
Oh, especially with when they eventually get the third StarCraft 2 game out.
Yeah. Oh, Legacy of the Void, I think?
Yes. That's going to be the Protoss-centered one.
Yep. I actually haven't played StarCraft past the first... The base game, I suppose.
I still haven't played StarCraft 2 at all. I only played the original game because my poor old computer cannot handle something like that. Let's see.
I don't know, it's kind of disappointing because now that you tell me more about it, I do remember the vague, cryptic reveal that, oh, we're working on something. And then exactly in that voice, too.
That was a great way to make an announcement.
Like, Bobby Kotick comes down and says it exactly like that. And then later, they're just like, ha ha, fooled you.
Fooled you!
Yep.
You want to know some... you want some evidence on that Bloodborne's definitely going to be difficult?
Because it's being made by the guys that did Dark Souls?
That's
enough for me.
But apparently only 20 people beat the demo at PAX.
Dang, I think that's even worse than the Dark Souls 2 demo.
And 40 people at Tokyo Game Show. So a little bit more there, but still.
Man.
Yeah, From Software is still just chugging along the...
I think Bloodborne is my biggest motivation to want a PS4. Mm. Because I'm pretty sure it's an exclusive.
Yeah, I think it is PS4 exclusive. I haven't seen anything about a Xbox One.
Yeah. I mean, it looks sweet. It looks like, and, you know, from the gameplay that they've shown, it looks like more of the Soulsy goodness.
Yeah.
But with a new twist on the setting and some new mechanics.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it definitely seems a little bit more gothic, for lack of a better word.
It's like if a plague rat bit Queen Victoria. That's the style.
Yeah,
a zombie plague rat.
That metaphor.
It was a very strange analogy. But I think one of the coolest moments during one of the gameplay demos was the characters rounding this corner, and off in the distance you can see this giant spider thing hugging a tower, and I'm like, what is that? And when do I get to fight it? And how many times is it going to kill me? And is the answer to the previous question a lot?
Forever.
And how much am I going to nope out during this boss fight? Especially if you're arachnophobe.
I think Souls hates arachnophobes. Because
oh, yeah.
In Dark Souls 1, you had Quelaag, And then in Dark Souls 2, there was those weird spider monsters at one point.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess they just hate people who hate spiders. Maybe, oh god, what if From Software is really a whole army of spider people?
Well, that would explain some of the Armored Core designs.
I need to play those games.
Incidentally. I do have Verdict Day. I've been meaning to get 4 and 4 Answer along with 5. But 4 and 4 Answer are just atrociously priced on Amazon. Like, over $50.
Yeah.
I think 4 Answer nearing the $100 range. Ooh. At least 5 is around $25. So I think I might pick that up next.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I had a game I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Alien Isolation. Yes. For those who haven't heard of it, I believe it was announced sometime earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, a game about the Alien series,
mm-hmm. right,
the Xenomorphs, as they are sometimes known. And you play as the daughter of Ellen Ripley, trying to survive in, I think it's a space station or a spaceship of some variety.
One of the two, yeah.
One of the two. And you are being pursued by an alien.
Yes.
Note the distinction in the title. An alien.
Just
one.
A single Xenomorph.
Just the one, and it is supposed to be scary as balls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a horror game.
Yeah.
It is survival horror.
It's Amnesia.
This is one thing that I will complain about until the end of my days. Alien was a great horror movie. Aliens
is a great action
was
movie.
A great action movie. But ever since Aliens, mm-hmm. everything about Xenomorphs has been more about the action.
Yeah.
And the sheer gut-wrenching terror of being pursued by this perfect predator
mm-hmm.
in the cold darkness of space.
Where no one can hear your scream.
Lots of stuff has drawn inspiration from Alien and Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I think the Xenomorphs are older than 40K.
Because
40K came out sometime in the 80s, I want to say. And
the Tyranids
are very Xenomorphy. Like, I remember... there's one called, like, a Zoanthrope or something that basically looks like a limbless
Xenomorph.
Oh,
yeah. And the Gene Stealers also remind me of...
Yeah, the
Gene
Stealers are definitely very Xenomorphy.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently a lot of work is going into this game under the hood to make it, you know, pursue you in a terrifying and realistic manner.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like one of those games that's going to be great for Oculus integration.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh,
just
nice.
Oculus Rift mm-hmm. and some nice headphones and some diapers.
Oh, yeah. What really got my attention about the game was it was being developed by
Creative Assembly.
Yeah, Creative Assembly. And you might know them from the Total War series.
Yeah, that was one thing that, like, I noticed that it was a moment.
Yeah, like, you primarily know them from making RTS games. And to do a first-person horror game is like, I hope they know what they're doing with this. And from what I see in the gameplay and images, they know what they're doing with this.
I'm kind of excited about this, like, survival horror has taken a turn that I'm really enjoying so far, and
yeah.
I want to see what this is going to add to it.
I think it kind of started with Amnesia, and then lots of games have finally been kind of hitting it right instead of
mm-hmm.
being an action game with a lot of blood and shadows.
Outlaws.
Speaking of horror games that look interesting, the Silent Hills
to
have another pluralization distinction.
Hills.
I've never really gotten to the Silent Hill franchise, but I saw that this new one is being worked on by Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro. Who are both some pretty scary guys.
Oh. Yeah, Guillermo del Toro definitely knows his horror, like Pan's Labyrinth. That was a messed up film.
That movie was strange and terrifying.
And then Hideo Kojima, you already know he's insane.
Yeah,
he was perfect for this series.
The insanity of Kojima with the terrifyingness of Del Toro.
And Norman Reedus, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Definitely excitement. But their scheme for introducing it, I think, was the most interesting thing.
Yes, through the PT trade.
It was introduced as like a playable demo for an unnamed game, and then only if you get through it somehow. It was never like even... clearly understood how you beat
the
demo.
Even the exact nature of and how BPT stole up to debate for debate
and it you know it's a just great terrifying confusing mm-hmm. confusion that makes horror.
Oh, one great thing I read about PT is that Kojima deliberately had the game running at 30 frames per second instead of what the Fox Engine could do at 60 frames. So it was intentionally downsized to make it look like an indie game.
Yeah.
So the
final product will probably look a lot nicer.
Oh, yes. And if I remember right, I think there was a recent trailer shown for Silent Hills.
Sweet. Might have to look that up. Well, we have been joined. A new challenger has arrived.
Oh yes! Excellent!
Hi, Shannon.
What's up? I'm a ninja.
You're the podcast ninja today, because she is arriving from another podcast produced by The Prairie, The Music Note, which you guys should also check out. What is that release on?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure...
Today was my first day. You'll have to give me some slack.
I'm sure our editors will drop a note in somewhere.
Y'all should check it out, though, because it was an hour-long interview with Abolishment of Flesh.
Right.
This Danny, I have this podcast before.
Danny Fierro is sticking her head in too. She can tell us when the Music Note releases.
The Music Note releases every other Thursday, and this week we have Abolishment of the Flesh. They stopped by and talked to us about their music and, you know, their experiences touring and just.
And I may or may not have mentioned tentacle porn at least once.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, goodness.
I guess. Yeah.
You know, one of the musicians said that he was probably going to be the one to be me to censor the most. No, it's going to be Shannon. She's going to be censored the most.
I didn't say anything bad. I just brought up tentacle porn once.
Well, don't make any work for Georgia. Well, I gave you a plug, so don't say I never did anything for you.
Yes, she gave you a plug in our show, too.
People barging in. Messing with our mojo. Today has just been a messing with our mojo day.
I am so sorry. What are you guys talking about?
I haven't done
the news.
Mojo.
We're on the news.
Oh, we're on the news.
That should be our title for this podcast. Messing with our mojo jojo.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, in that case, if I am part of that messing, I have to go. But definitely listen in on Thursdays if you also like music. And if you are a local band or, you know, musician who wants to come talk to us, definitely can. And just contact us at theprairiewt@gmail.com or Twitter, @_prairie, I think it is. Hey, if you ever have a Doctor Who podcast, invite me in, because if it's about killing off Clara, I'd be the first one to talk about it. Bye.
That was scary. Anyway, all right, let's try to force ourselves back into the
Let's see. I found when the first edition of Warhammer 40,000 was released, it was Rogue Trader, and that was in 87.
Okay. Warhammer
40,000.
40,000. 40,000. 40K. It works. So yeah, Alien definitely predates that. Mm-hmm. So
let's do this
is the facial chipmunk cheeks of Doom. Deal with it.
Let's do a masterful segue.
Okay,
to Nintendo news real quick.
Yes, please.
See how masterful that was.
Segue from Grimdark and Aliens into Nintendo.
Okay, most things Nintendo recently have been all about Smash, so this is more so about Smash news at this point. Okay, one thing in particular that we have found recently is that we could very well be getting DLC stages for Smash Bros. There have been people who have taken, of course, the files from the actual game and dumped it out as a ROM, and have found that there are options in the select screen for your stages that say that you can show the stages which you have downloaded. So it is, I think the actual thing that it says is, C stages that you have downloaded. Yeah, so we could very well be seeing some DLC stages for 3DS and Wii U versions of Smash 4.
Could be, but another possibility I'm thinking of, if this isn't confirmed, is that it could be for, like, downloaded custom stages.
It could be.
But I honestly wouldn't be surprised, because Nintendo has been getting better about online integration.
Oh, yeah.
And they've shown with things like the For Fun and For Glory options that they're being a little savvier about what people want. So I don't think DLC stages would be too out of, you know, too out there. One thing I don't know if we'll see, I'd be kind of dubious as to whether or not we'd see it, but maybe DLC characters later on down the line.
Excellent that you mentioned that, because there was actually some fan speculation on whether or not we would have those, because we have actually found characters in the game that were supposed to get pieces or parts of them in the game that were fully at one point supposed to be part of the game, but are not any longer. For example, Gaben.
All right. Let's see. Remnants of the Ice Climbers have been found in the 3DS version. It's public knowledge at this point that the Ice Climbers were removed from Super Smash Bros. 3DS because of hardware limitations. Because Sakurai wanted a complete character parity between the 3DS and Wii U, they were taken out. But apparently some last remnant of them remains in the game, as player Gemma Yue has allegedly uncovered an odd glitch in the Japanese version. If you play as Villager and KO at least two Dr. Marios at once with 100% damage, this is rather specific,
yeah.
A Nana Popo chant will be happened, the names of the two Ice Climbers. This is from Chris Carter on Destructoid. I've tested this with the US version of the game, replicating the stage and all the requirements, and it still chants Villager, so this may only be for the Japanese version, if the video is legitimate.
Probably leftover files.
Yeah, I'm guessing so.
Like I said, these were also found as part of the files of this chants when they were dumped out as a ROM.
Let's see, I'm seeing the headline on the Smash Bros. Subreddit is crowd chant files for Lucas, Snake, Ice Climbers, mm-hmm. the Fighting Alloy Team, Squirtle, and Ivysaur.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to assume is that these were just leftover files that no one cleaned up.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Most definitely. Which,
I always wonder how people find these glitches that require extremely specific circumstances.
I don't know.
I mean, it's got to be accident, but, you know, if I'm in the middle of a game, especially like Smash Brothers, and something happens, I probably wouldn't be able to reconstruct it in my head as to what I was doing at that exact moment.
Probably because you're trying to avoid a final smash or something.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are disappointed that the Ice Climbers got left out.
I like to juggle with them.
Okay.
I don't like being juggled by them.
some of the biggest news. Oh, go ahead.
Speaking of Animal Crossing, it has been confirmed that for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, players will be able to make their feline companions look like Mr. Rossetti and Isabelle.
Also Sonic.
Oh, and Tails and the Taiko drums.
Oh, gosh.
And all these crossovers.
Mm-hmm. The Monster Hunter series is always one that I've been meaning to get into, but, well, for whatever reason, I just haven't gotten into it, and I don't have a Wii U at the moment. And most likely will not, because PS4, Persona 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I had one bit of news.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Steam has had some stuff happen recently. For one, they've done a big old redesign of the front store page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, oh my god, they did the one thing that I've wanted them to do for ages. I can open different store pages in tabs.
Woo!
I don't have to like crawl back to where I was on a list every time I want to look at a game when I'm browsing through a list of games. And also, they have hit 100 million active accounts.
Dear Lord.
Yep.
100 million people living in their mother's basement.
I'm one of those, apparently. I don't live in my mother's basement.
I never had a basement.
I'm part of that. Yeah, me neither.
We live with neither of our mothers, and we don't live in a basement.
Deal with it.
The mold might fool us.
Deal with it.
What's going on?
100 million neckbeards.
Meh.
God,
yeah, the homepage now offers a feed of game recommendations and further customizations. For instance, if you want, you can opt out seeing Steam early access titles or games only available for pre-purchase in certain banners.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it seems like Valve is really trying to make Steam a lot more accessible and customizable to how their users want it to be for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm liking it. I really like it.
Another feature is Steam Curators, which basically you can let people recommend stuff to you. And some of the featured ones they have are Total Biscuit, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, PC Gamer, Jim Sterling.
PC Master Race.
Yep. There's one called Just Good PC Games, which has a screenshot from Yahtzee.
Yeah, that's where I got that from.
I don't know if it's related or if it's just something else. But, you know, being able to get what people want to them more clearly means they'll be selling more games. Mm-hmm. So win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Everything else still looks the same, though. Library. I actually haven't checked out the community pages, and I can't because student wireless, guest wireless doesn't like Steam.
Yeah.
But the library page is still exactly the same.
Now I'm just waiting for the event, for the hopeful porting of Sins of a Solar Empire to Mac. Or maybe I should just throw this Mac away and get a Windows laptop.
Maybe you should.
Yes.
Maybe. Maybe in the future, once I'm out of college and I don't need to take notes.
Okay,
so
that's on the one final note for Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
This is hilarious.
Oh.
Okay. It was either a couple of weeks ago or last week when players who were playing in the Four Glory mode in Japan for Smash 4 were getting banned when they were playing as Peach. Now, this was because whenever she used her turnip move, the system registered her getting a turnip as an illegal way to bring in an item into the stage. So,
that's a little bit of an oversight.
So players who were playing as Peach were consistently just getting banned and not being allowed to play as Peach in the Four Glory mode. And Nintendo actually issued a statement saying, "We're sorry, we're working to fix it, it's our fault." Anyways, it's fixed now, so those players can now actually play as Peach. And it was released in a patch, so it was definitely something that they just completely glossed over during production.
Well, I'm glad to see that they've already started, you know, the process of, like, patching things.
It's been, like, less than a week.
I'm sure that we'll see things like balance updates and tweaks as time goes on. And I think that's one thing that excites me most about this Smash, is that it's not going to be set and solid until someone manages to make a Project M for it, or the like.
The like of it, yes.
I don't even know if such a thing would be possible with this version.
Everything's possible.
To be perfectly honest, I have no idea how Project M works. I just know you put the card in the Wii and it goes.
Some neckbeard in his mother's basement had a lot of spare time and some Dorito breath.
Why does it always have to be neckbeard? He could be a computer science genius.
Who's also a neckbeard.
He could shave.
He could shave. He could be a woman.
And have 5 o'clock shadow beard on his neck.
Could be a woman, you sexist.
She could have a neckbeard.
Well, I guess that's a non-zero possibility of that.
Well, I have one last piece of news for me.
We can wrap it up with this.
All right. 10 million people bought a new iPhone during launch weekend.
And the first guy in Melbourne, Australia to get one dropped his.
Yes, he did. On public television.
Though, to be fair, I don't know what else Apple would expect when in the packaging it is sitting right on the very top.
He wasn't being careful when he was opening it.
He was like,
there's like a video of it, and he's just like, "Yeah, let me show this camera, this phone, real quick."
Oops,
a little bit of schadenfreude.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, "Oh,
yeah!" It was like suddenly everyone was in high school again, and he was like a freshman. They were all seniors.
Yep,
it's totally what happened.
Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here with an iPhone 4.
I'm just sitting here without Apple products.
iPhone. Yeah.
I have a dumb phone.
No, shut up.
But I have a nice laptop, so eat it.
And that's all the news I have.
What does the iPhone 6 do different, Mr. Appleman?
You can put it in the microwave.
No, stop. That's not real.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to talk about that?
We could.
What'd that come from? 4chan?
Probably.
Oh, God.
My basic understanding of it is 4chan has been spreading lies that you can charge your iPhone 6 by putting it in the microwave.
Not only have they been spreading lies, they actually made an official booking.
Yeah.
iPhone 6 page
with
features next to it,
and then,
including the feature Wave, which is where you can put it in the microwave, and utilizing microwaves, the phone can charge gigafast.
But they also
charge to
it,
its death.
They explain it using very, very hilarious words that don't make sense being put together, but you know that the average person's going to read that and saying, wow, that sounds really technical. And real. And so...
Those are some big words. This must be legit.
There it is, yeah. And then they made, like, a really, really official-looking infographic, and they've done this before on the previous iPhone that's like, hey, you can now just put this in water, and it'll be totes cool, dog. And this time it's, like, in the microwave, which was... I wonder, like, how many people have done this already.
A lot.
Right. Have they?
Yeah.
There were people?
I had a friend, like, names mentioned.
Okay.
I had a friend dumb enough to do this.
Oh, God.
And I saw the pictures on Facebook today,
no.
And I cried in laughter.
You'll have to show me later. Okay, I found the infographic. How Wave works. iOS 8 contains new drivers that interface with your device's radio baseband, allowing it to synchronize with microwave frequencies and use them to recharge your battery.
See? It sounds like, to the average person, that's going to sound like, wow, that's really technical and for real.
Let's see, 60 seconds at 700 watts or 70 seconds at 800 watts. Do not wave charge for over 300 seconds. Do not feed after midnight. Do not get wet. It doesn't actually say that last bit. I'm just being silly.
Aww.
I wish you said that.
I just...
Oh, wow, this is real. People have actually been doing this.
I told you!
Literally, people have done this.
I didn't think people actually did, but
I don't want to
are.
Live on this planet anymore.
I think the biggest thing, you know, somewhere out there, someone had to think, oh man, I gotta get in on this, and microwaved their iPhone for the attention.
Yeah, I can see that.
Stop. Don't make it that real right now.
Don't make it awkward.
Lack of critical thinking.
I was already kind of did that at the beginning.
All right.
Just like listening.
Any last remarks?
Okay, well, one last thing. Nintendo celebrates turning 125 years.
Yay!
You're so old.
900.
Oh my goodness,
what's
that?
I don't know, it's just how I always say that.
Alright, well.
Okay, well, just making sure we are clear about that.
And that's how the cookie crumbles. I don't know what I was doing there.
Are you crumbling my cookie?
No.
I will kill you. I will abolish your flesh.
I'm turning the mic off now.
Verbal threat. Preston feels threatened.
Bye, guys.
Hostile work environment.
Bye!
Because we made you uncomfortable with our spirit.
No, I need to study for chemistry and such and the like and academics
people.
And
nerd.
Stop.
Bye, Edgar.
See ya.
Bye. Alright.
Right.
What's
now,
up, guys?
Now we geek out.
Yay! Geeking out.
Do that part. So I got a new laptop.
Yeah, you're very proud of it.
Thanks in part to the lovely financial contribution of my dear wife.
In part?
Most part.
Thanks to your new wife.
Yeah, we split the cost of it.
Split?
Yeah. It wasn't an even split, but it was a split.
Okay.
Sager NG.
Two-thirds. One-third. Yeah, that's totally fair.
You offer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking at it. It's like how you described it. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a Sager NP8278S, I believe. It's got an i7 Haswell processor, a NVIDIA GTX 870M for the graphics, 16 gigabytes of RAM, a 1 terabyte hard drive. It's nice and it's going to last a long time. It's very solidly built. This thing is 17 inches wide. It's pretty thick, and it feels like it could go through a tornado.
Or if a tornado's wielding it, it could kill you.
Also, yes. But I don't know, I'm happy with it. I think one of the silliest things that I'm really happy about is that it has a really nice speaker bar on it.
Oh, yeah.
That he was playing with multiple colors of the keyboard.
Oh, yeah. The backlit, it has a backlit keyboard, and I can make it, like, do a rave pattern.
Oh, you can...
And it could be pink, purple... Blue, orange.
Yeah, it can,
wow.
Orangey pink.
I can change the color. I can, you know, this is another one of those times where it'd be nice to have cameras on us.
Mm.
Except then you could see how, like, you and I have been mostly staring at our laptop screens this whole time. But I can,
jerks.
I can take it in and I can make it freak out.
Rave.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm happy with it, and it's going to last. That's the big thing.
Oh yeah,
it's going to, as long as I take good care of it, and make sure the cat doesn't sit on the screen, which is what happened to my last laptop.
Mm.
That's what took it off.
Whose
the second
fault was
hit.
That?
The cat's.
Okay. Yeah, it was the cat's fault.
Well, the cat was the one that jumped up there without warning.
When you left your laptop open on the coffee table.
Sean.
Well, cats do what they like. They answer to no man.
Cats do what they want.
There's no such thing as a cat owner. The cat is the owner.
Have you ever played Dwarf Fortress? That's exactly what happens.
No, seriously, in Dwarf Fortress, that's literally how the game does it. The cat adopts the dwarf.
Mm-hmm. And they multiply, and they will kill your game.
They will kill your frame rate until... Unless you're like me and horrible and make sure that only a few kittens are left alive.
That's pretty much what you have to do.
To keep the population going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice source of meat and leather and bones.
Have you heard of, this was an older trick, but then it was patched out by making mermaid bones less valuable.
Yep, where they,
yep.
Yes.
They had these convoluted setups where they'd trap mermaids and then force them to breed... wait and then air drown the children to collect their bones.
Yeah, you know that you have officially gone over the line when Toady himself patches it out to where mermaid bones are not as valuable as they once were.
Not worth the effort. And this is the game where, you know, if you aren't paying attention and you draft a female dwarf into your military, she will give birth at some point during her tenure. It's not an if, it's a when.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will charge into battle, carrying her dwarven infant.
In front of her.
Who will likely get torn to bits. You know, one of my favorite...
Welcome to Plus INT with graphic
it's
interpretations
just, it's,
game.
It's a hilariously graphic and violent game, but it's the blow is softened because it's all rendered through descriptions and ASCII characters.
Mm-hmm. And
one of my favorite tricks was keeping a whole bunch of cats and dogs and chickens in a cage and linking it to a pressure plate. And then if a goblin wandered in that far, they would hit the plate and unleash a storm of angry small animals.
Yes, you can do all of this.
And more.
You haven't lived until you've read a 20-page long description of a goblin getting slowly torn to bits by what would you call that? Like a swarm? A flock? A flock doesn't sound angry enough.
Well, kobolds are pretty, not evil. I mean, they're pretty good as weapons.
This one poor kobold
I would just
got
put it as a pack, just because it's all small animals.
A pack of angry chickens.
What really got me into Dwarf Fortress was when I learned how in-depth the combat system is.
Because it's not
individual muscles and tendons can be torn.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane.
Like, it's kind of abstract in how the game handles it.
Oh, yeah.
But it does, like, track, like, the tendons for the hand and the arms and legs and the layers of skin and muscle and the bones and the organs. You can, like, a viable strategy is going for the eyes so that the creature is blinded.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all of you who are wondering or thinking that this is an awesome game, you also have to understand this looks like it was made in the 60s.
It also has a learning cliff.
Yeah, it does not have a learning curve. For those not familiar with the term, a learning curve is when a game gradually increases the difficulty as it eases you into the mechanics and the skill of it. Dwarf Fortress has just a cliff that goes straight up from the get-go. And there is a reason that its motto is losing is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Drowning your whole fortress accidentally drowning your fortress in lava...
All the dwarves spiraling into anger and killing each other while one person's on fire.
Starvation.
I feel like if they could do a Dwarf Fortress interface for Minecraft, that would be awesome.
Hmm.
It was
because it'd be a lot easier to like keep track of the blocks, the levels you're digging, and
yeah, that's true.
Minecraft was in part inspired by Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah.
Which Minecraft also had a big old update recently. We talked about that, didn't we?
We
already talked about that.
No, I don't know if we talked about the update.
We already talked about that.
Well, fine.
I can't remember. Oh.
Yeah, because in the little nice banner that was made for the show notes, there's a Steve.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I like those banners that we've got going on the posts, because it's stuff from the different things we talked about on the Geekanoot.
Right.
The Geekanoot.
Geekanootaboot.
I like how with every major upgrade update that Minecraft has, at the very bottom, it always says, removed Herobrine.
Yeah.
I noticed that, and I giggled, because I actually have a mod that adds Herobrine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome, and terrifying.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Herobrine was probably one of the first major, what would you call it, urban legends, Zelda,
legend.
For Minecraft,
creepypasta.
Yeah, creepypasta for
Minecraft.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta and video games just go hand in hand, it seems like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, the old classic ones like Pokemon Black and the stuff with Lavender Town.
Oh, yeah. There's the, there's Ben Drowned.
There's the Legend of Zelda stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Ben Drowned there.
Yeah.
Oh, that was?
Yeah, that's
the, what I know.
That's the Haunted Majora's Mask cartridge.
Yep.
Oh my god, like, I have watched that 100 times, and it's still
I think Smooth McGroove even did, like, a...
Oh, yes, he did.
Ben Drowned homage.
Yeah, he did, reversed one of his earlier acapellas, which was, the Song of Healing. Well, then.
I hope the mic's not picking that up. I think it might barely be. Can you stop that?
It's kind of picking it up. You're just having too much fun with that.
Get over here, you dork.
anyway, but yeah, Smoothie McGroove kind of re-uploaded a reverse version of the Song of Healing that he did, and the reverse Song of Healing, it shows up the most in the Ben Drowned videos. Yeah. And it is pretty unnerving.
No, the vanilla Lavender Town music's unnerving on its own.
Oh, yeah. Especially the whole, I don't know if it... I'm pretty sure it was an urban myth about how the music with Lavender Town, that only kids could really hear the full song while older people couldn't really...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a myth.
Yeah.
But the internet, in general, creepypasta is a whole lot of fun. I liked Slender Man before it went mainstream. Oh, God, that's so mainstream. But it's really true.
It is true, yeah.
Because aside from the stuff that was still ongoing, like Marble Hornets... After it got really popular, Sturgeon's Law took hold so hard.
Yes. We do have good ones, like the original Slender the Eight Pages, and probably two... I don't know, your mileage may vary on Slender the Arrival. Some people like it, some people...
I've heard fairly negative reactions to it.
I've heard kind of mostly positive, but there have been, but a lot of it does seem to be mixed.
But for those who don't know, Sturgeon's Law... slightly bolderized, is that 90% of everything is crap.
Mm-hmm.
Which the internet is a great demonstration of.
When you said Sturgeon's Law for a second, I thought you were actually going to talk about the guy responsible for Slender Man, Victor Surge.
Is he 90% crap?
I don't know.
Stop, Nathan. No.
Did he do something interesting aside from creating Slender Man years ago on something awful?
I don't know. I don't think he has done anything else. And
I really think that was his one contribution, was creating it.
Yeah, just one image on something awful and then boom.
Bam. People just kind of ran with it.
And in terms of stuff I have been geeking on about, let's see. I already kind of covered Toho last week.
One of these days, Edgar will be here, so you two can start talking about pigeons.
Oh, God. Since you mentioned pigeons, just for you, Georgia, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Hatful. I haven't been playing it as much recently. I've been busy with some stuff, but once Edgar and I finally have time, we'll probably sit back down again. And when we were playing the a couple weeks ago, last week, I can't remember... He was doing the voices for everyone, and they could get ridiculous.
We need to put a camera on that.
You should have put a camera on that. It was... I was just face-palming, literally face-palming throughout most of it.
As opposed to figuratively face-palming?
Both. Yeah, I was literally face-palming. I was like, why? I don't doubt that it's going to be good later on. I trust Georgia that... It's not just going to be like how it is in the intro. That it will be a lot better later on. And that's kind of the thing with visual novels. The first act and maybe like the first route, they're not... compared to the later routes, they're not as good. But I'm pretty sure that once I get through it, it's going to just amp it up a lot more. That's kind of how it was with Fate Stay Night. The Fate route, it was just kind of standard, not that special. Then Unlimited Blade Works added a lot of action, a lot more in-depth analysis on who Shiro was and the identity of Archer. And then Heaven's Feel just, it went grim dark with everything and delved into the backstory of the Holy Grail War. A little bit more info on Kirei Kotomine and then the absolute monster that is Zoken Mato. All I'm going to say is Crestworms. That is all. You Google image that yourself. I'm not going to do anything about it.
If it's one I think you're talking about, I think we watched a little bit of the anime and Anime Club.
Yeah, the 40-minute pilot for Fate Zero.
I think it was Fate Stay Night or Fate Zero.
It was Fate Zero.
It was Fate Zero.
Yeah, because Fate Stay Night...
The Worms.
Yeah, the original anime adaptation of Fate Stay Night, I've already done this, was done by Studio Dean back in 2007-06. And that only covered the Fae route. The Crestworms really were shown more in Heaven's Feel, and then that was shown in the pilot for Fate Zero. But since we're all going to be getting a Heaven's Feel movie, you can bet those slimy abominations are going to be all over it.
Well, for Shannon and I, my part, when we aren't playing Minecraft, she got the new Naruto game, which I'm sure she would love to talk about.
The new Naruto game.
You should scoot closer to the microphone.
Oh, fine, I'll stop squeaking the door. I don't know what that was, but it looked horrible. No, it's hideous!
Crest worms.
Preston?
I am offended. I am offended. I will turn this podcast around.
Anyways, okay. I recently got the newest Naruto game, Ultimate Ninja Storm.
Revolution.
Yeah, isn't the full title like Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution?
Yeah, yes. Originally it was just Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm back when it just covered part one with the first game, and then Shippuden for it.
So, I don't know if any of y'all have figured this out. I am a diehard Naruto fan. I have followed the entire series. I have read the manga. I have fallen in love with every character. Y'all know that I have written fan fiction for it. I am the epitome of Naruto fangirl. So the other day, the day it released actually, I got Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution. And I got home, and I put it in. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing the smart thing where you go to the first bubble, which is where most games have their main stuff, I was like, oh, I'm going to screw around and see what else they have. And I ended up in Ninja Escapades, which is, like, the third screen. Mm-hmm. And they throw you into, like, super hard battles right to begin with. And you're like, oh my god, buttons! How do I even buttons? And then, after a while, I figured out you press circle to win.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the primary main reason for attacking.
Similar to JoJo, it's not an incredibly technical fighter.
Yeah, it's by the same developer, CyberConnect 2.
So, I'm not going to give any spoilers. As soon as you turn the game on, you'll find out the first story arc is about assembling the Akatsuki. And then you open two others after you beat that. And I think the coolest thing is they use anime clips from the film and freshly drawn and hot off the press studio clips.
Yep, Studio Pierrot, the studio that animates the Naruto anime, for generations, the game that was in between Ultimate Ninja Storm 2 and 3 and now Revolution, they created new scenes, for the most part, for this game. And they've reused some old clips, but for the most part, yeah, it's pretty new.
And for all of y'all who are also diehard Naruto fans, I don't know if there are any, but... If you have ever played the original Naruto Ultimate Ninja, the very first one that came out way back in 2002.
Back on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, way back on the PS2. You'll find that there's a lot of things that are very similar.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the best thing, anybody who's played the game got tired of, oh! 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 Between all of the screens. Every time you click something, oh! Oh! or believe it!
Yeah, part one Naruto with the whole believe it thing, that was...
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting now because there's a tab where you can switch it to Japanese with English subtitles.
Yeah, for people who don't like the English dub, the Japanese dub's right there for you.
And I was so happy because it sounds so much more interesting when you're not changing pages and going, ho! Whoop, 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 ho!
I think,
since when was Mono Bear in that game? Boop, 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 boop. God, that was horrifying. Never do that again.
The gameplay itself is pretty fun. It's based around the concept of having a worldwide ninja tournament. There are 100 playable characters.
Actually, let me look at
that. And it's not really 100 separate characters.
Some are clones of the others.
It's clones. You can play as, right off the bat, you can play as Baby Naruto. And when I say Baby Naruto, I mean
Part 1 Naruto.
Okay. You can play as regular Naruto, you can play as Sage Naruto, and you can play as...
Mecha Naruto.
Mecha Naruto.
Oh, God.
Let's see, there's a 118.
Oh gosh, I will tell you about my time with Mecha.
I played as Mecha Naruto in the demo. I know what's off.
And you can also play as Ninetale Naruto.
See, it's
now
118 playable characters.
There is a interesting point where you play an arc with Mecha Naruto.
Oh yeah, I do have
and
that one.
I laughed every time I played this because the running.
The running is ridiculous on him.
Okay. The best way to describe his running is to make a lanky figure run like Mario did in, like, Super Nintendo games. I mean, I'm talking about angles everywhere.
Everyone does describe it, yeah.
And then his feet hitting the ground sounds like tin cans on plastic.
Yeah,
my favorite thing is this jump animation where he just goes rigid like that, like T pose you get usually when the model's animations aren't working right, and just boosts off with rockets.
Let's see. I've been kind of debating whether or not to get Revolution is it's not since it's kind of an interquel game between 3 and hopefully 4, which will hopefully tie up the entire story of Naruto once the manga finally ends.
It's supposed to be ending this year, knock on wood.
There we go.
It's a fun game, all in all, because if it can suck in someone like me who's A, not a big fighting game fan with the major exception of Smash Brothers, and B, it's actually a pretty fun game because it can suck in like someone like me who's A, not a big fighting game fan with the exception of Super Smash Brothers, and B, not a big Naruto fan.
Naruto fan?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a slur, an anime fan slur.
Nah.
But
I've
actually watched the first episode. I have started because I promised my wife I would.
Oh, of Shippuden?
Not of Shippuden.
No.
The very beginning.
Wow.
The very beginning.
Yeah, I am making him watch it.
Are you going to make him skip all the fillers?
Yes.
Okay, good.
But regardless,
except for the ones that I liked.
Oh, it's actually really fun
because
once you get a hang of the controls.
For me, a lot of the selling points for the game, is I saw a video clip of all the new Ultimate Jutsus.
Yeah.
I like how they're going back to how Ultimate Ninja Storm 1 was with the Ultimate Jutsus, where they seem really overpowered and just vroom, Dragon Ball Z proportions of explosions.
I think one of the best things with the Ultimate Jutsus as compared to the first one is you don't have to button press. I'm so glad there's button presses. You don't have to go like triangle, triangle, circle, X, square, square, X, circle, circle, triangle.
An argument can be made that if people want to try and avoid all that damage they get from an ultimate juice, they give them a chance. But yeah, I can also see that it kind of simplifies things.
It's a lot harder to get hit with an ultimate jutsu, I found. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to set them off. But
the moves are easily telegraphed?
They're fairly telegraphed, but basically you have to time it so that you're catching your opponent at a moment of weakness instead of trying to spam it.
Yeah.
Because the way a lot of them work is you fire the move, and a lot of times they like launch themselves across the screen or put out some kind of feeler that if it hits the opponent, it has to connect, and then the super fires.
Yeah, that also applied to Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 with characters that had more of a sweeping attack for their Ultimate Jutsu opening, Eternal Mangekyo Sharingan Sasuke and War Tobi. I found that you really have to get close to attack your opponent, and for the most part, they'll either use substitution or they'll guard, so you really do have to catch them off guard.
Substitution irritates me.
My husband was watching me play the other day, and right now, my favorite character to play is Dedera.
Oh, Dedera?
Oh, yeah. Because I can stay on one side of the screen
and
just, like, throw shit at people, and then I can nuke them. His ultimate is literally nuking people.
Yeah, it's his,
and it is awesome.
Yeah, it's a C4. Okay, yeah, it's
Get
a
it
C4.
Right.
I can't remember which C it was. It was the bomb he used against Gaara at the beginning of Shippuden.
And then C5 is where he blows himself up.
Oh, I thought that was C0.
D4, DC.
Well, that's where he makes his, like, little clone thingy
that's
filled with air. Oh, actually, little nanobombs.
Oh, okay, that was C0. Okay.
And Preston's just like, what? Nanobombs?
Listen, I watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, as anyone who's listened to this podcast well knows. So, strange techniques are
not anything new for us.
Not anything new.
I'm wondering that if the anime ever gets to part 5, how they're going to explain King Crimson.
I'm not familiar, but I don't like spoilers. I try to
keep my knowledge.
Okay.
But, you know, with Steely Dan, his stand is microscopic and disguises itself by creating an army of clones out of mushed up brain cells.
Yeah, and that freaky dance number they had. Yeah, that was weird. But if I typically, kind of going back to where you can choose the Japanese audio and the English subs, I typically mostly am kind of a dub person, but if I see the anime first in subs, that's what I usually stick with. And then I like to watch English dub, see how it kind of compares and what changes made. I think probably my favorite voices that are for the English dub for Naruto are probably Neil Kaplan as Tobi and Madara.
Yeah, I can see that. Little fun fact. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot what I was saying.
Oh.
It was something about Naruto's voice actor.
Neil Flanagan? Or the Japanese one or the English one?
I don't know where I heard this, because I don't know anything about voice actors, but I heard one of them was a fast woman.
Hold on a sec.
Oh, gosh. Gabe is doing the research to back my claim.
No, I know who you're talking about. This is Male Flanagan.
Oh, she's so adorable! She's got her little ginger cheeks going on. Okay. Sorry, I kind of geeked out.
Well, this is the geeking section.
Mm-hmm. Since I hope to eventually be a voice actor, I've kind of learned a lot of the names of voice actors in the voice acting anime, specifically anime community. I kind of know the names a lot of the LA-based voice actors, since it seems that most anime kind of dubs are kind of done from them. The Funimation does also put out a lot of them, so I also kind of know them.
I feel like you should adopt one of your favorite voices and stick to it for a while.
Voices as in voices I do?
Yes.
Oh. Well, yeah, I do kind of switch voices depending on what inflection I'm playing to use. I don't know. I don't really practice that much.
And, dude, that's like saying I'm going to be the greatest musician on earth. I practice once a year.
Okay, I do practice, but in terms of recording, I actually haven't done that much over the summer, but I'm starting to get a bit more into
it. Well, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever want to see a picture of Sasuke's voice actor, here he is. Here, Lowenthal.
I'm going to marry him
someday.
Would
you believe he's 40?
I'm going to marry him someday.
He's already married.
No, shut up. I will kill his wife.
See, but...
You don't know that.
But see, his wife is Tara... But see, Yuri's wife is Tara Platt, who voices Tamari on the show.
Sasuke. What?
Yeah, and,
Can you imagine that... Wait, never mind.
No, I'm not going to... And it also creates some shipping hilarity with Persona 3, because Yuri provides the voice clips for the Persona 3 main protagonist, and one of the love interests can be Mitsuru Kirijo, who's also voiced by Tara. So yeah, some little relationship voice acting funnies there. What you looking at there?
Don't you look at my Facebook?
But...
Why not, honey child?
Well, but...
You know what I think was funny is that, used to, on Firefox, when you open a private browser tab, there was a bit where it talked about, like, private browsing does not stop websites from tracking your information or protect you from people standing directly behind you.
Funny.
I love how they have to put that in. Sometimes warning labels are the dumbest things.
Well, I mean, people don't have enough...
On a peanut bag.
People...
May contain peanuts.
If people don't have enough common sense to think that putting their iPhone in the microwave might be a bad idea...
That's true.
Caution, do not... I'm pretty sure that's why Apple hasn't put a warning label not to put it in the microwave, is so they can make some more.
Just buy some new ones.
Is that your future wife?
No, that's Tara Platt. That's Yuri Lowenthal's wife. What?
All I heard was Yuri. I'm sorry.
Well, that's his first name, Yuri Lowenthal. Mm-hmm. Stop.
Hey. He adopted a JoJo's pose to point at me. Oh gosh, they both did it.
We really need cameras.
Yes, we need you. Well,
so they can see you looking at your laptops?
Right. No, but then we would know that there are cameras there, and we would do JoJo poses every time just to screw with them.
I'm assuming that whenever the recording studio mm-hmm. upstairs is done and we're actually on camera, we'll look at the cameras a little more.
Yeah.
Right now we have to, you know, just kind of sit here. And staring at a microphone gets old after a while.
Well, it's a very pretty microphone, though.
Good, Mikey.
Yeah. Well, it's not the mic we used to use.
Well,
we're in
that mic's dead now.
Just like your dreams.
Yeah. Okay, well
that's
if you...
pretty much all the geeking out I have to do.
Any final remarks?
Not from Shannon.
I'm going to take that as a no. Well, if you enjoyed today's show or hated it or wish we would just stop talking, tell us about it. Email us at prairiewt@gmail.com or at a new email I have made, plusintwt, that's plusintwt@gmail.com. And you can also get in contact through Twitter or Facebook at The Prairie and The Prairie News on Facebook. Drop a comment on the website.
Yeah.
We're never good at ending these things.
No, we never really are, but at least we do it with some dignity.
Unicorns.
No more Flufflepuff for you.
I love Flufflepuff!
What's a Flufflepuff?
It's a My Little Pony thing.
I have to show you Flufflepuff.
Alright.
Is it the one in the video of pink fluffy unicorns dancing? On
yes, but there's more.
Oh, God.
But yeah.
Is that an actual thing in the show, or is it like
a... No, it's a fan base.
It's fan-based.
Fan
I love how we're now going on to a new subject where we were supposed to...
Okay.
Next time.
Next time.
We will bring you... pink fluffy unicorns.
If we can find them.
Well, I can't find them.
I think they're hiding behind Russell's teapot.